Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. And I was especially encouraged to hear Ethan's prayer this morning. He's been gone about a year, and it's amazing how much time has gone by. And we look forward to having Seth back with us and Lyndon as well. But it's good to be with Ethan. I was talking with him before services about fatherhood, and he's learning all about that. So you fathers, after services, stop by and give Ethan some advice. I'm sure he'll be glad to take that. He said that he's working on changing diapers and learning how to do that. So that's always a good thing. Now, I haven't seen what happened after he changed the diapers. I don't know if he got them on right, backwards, forwards. We'll see. But it's good to have him back. If you'll turn with me this morning to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. In our scripture reading, Moses set before Israel a choice. And one thing that we do each day is that we get up and we make choices. And we're going to talk this morning about the choice of Ruth. Because we have to make choices each and every day, God gives us help to make those choices. And we're going to consider this morning the choice of Ruth and some characteristics of that choice for our admonition this morning. Will we choose to obey the gospel or not? Will we choose to remain faithful to God or not after we obey the gospel? Will we make the right choices in marriage? Will we make the right choices with regard to our work, our schooling, our priorities? We make choices each and every day. Can we get some help in doing that? And I believe we can this morning from the text of Ruth chapter 1. Ruth made a choice to leave her homeland and go with her mother-in-law to a new place. And in the process of making that choice, we're going to learn this morning about some of the characteristics that are important in making wise choices. And I hope that we can learn some things this morning that will help us to be better servants in the sight of God. We have one life to live and then a judgment day. And we need to be making those right and proper choices. Let's read the text together this morning and consider the choice of Ruth. Our young people here this morning, I hope, will learn to make right choices. And those of us who are older, I hope that we'll learn to make right choices. This story takes place in a time that is very difficult. It's when the judges judged. If you notice in your Bible, the last verse of Judges, which sometimes is on the same page as the book of Ruth, just goes up to the last verse of Judges, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." We live in a similar situation today, even in our nation, where many people are just doing whatever they want. They're making bad choices. And we live in an environment like that, and we need to learn to make the right choices. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. "It came to pass in the days when the judges judged that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took two of them, wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was
Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, and the woman was left of her two children and her husband. When we consider the choice of Ruth, and we're very familiar with her statement in verse 16, where you go, I will go, and we'll get to that in just a minute. She made a choice to return home with Naomi. When you look at the first five verses, you find, first of all, that the choice of Ruth was a difficult choice. There are going to be times, brethren and friends, when we make choices, those choices are going to be made in difficult times. It's easy to make good choices in good times. But to make good choices in bad times shows character. We find that it's a period of famine. We find it's also a period when the judge is judged and every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, even among those who claim to be God's people. But what we find here with regard to Ruth is that she has lost her husband. And if you speak to someone who's lost their husband, they will tell you that that is a difficult thing. That is an emotional thing. That is a challenging time. And so we find that she's making the right choice in difficult times. I want us to understand this morning, brethren and friends, that character is formed when we make the right choices in difficult times. Anyone can make good choices in good times, but what about making good choices when things are difficult? In time of temptation, do you make the right choice? In time of hardship, do you make the right choice? When things are going well throughout the day, it's easy to tell the truth. It's easy to be honest. It's easy to pray. It's easy to read our Bible. But what about in a difficult situation? Do we still make the right choices? Ruth made the right choice, and we're learning this morning that choices need to be made even in difficult situations, because that's where character is formed. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 4. Hold your hand there, and Ruth will be coming back, of course. Any of us can make good choices in good times. But when we make good choices in difficult times, we know that we have the character that God wants us to have. Paul is writing about tribulation in verse 3. And tribulation works or produces steadfastness, and steadfastness, character, the New King James says, or approvedness. Someone who's been proved and shown to have a good character. And character, hope, and hope puts not ashamed. Tribulation works steadfastness, and steadfastness works character. It's easy to tell the truth when things are going well, but when things are difficult and maybe someone is around you pressuring you, still tell the truth. It's easy to avoid sexual temptation when another person is not there, but when you're out on a date with another person, well, then you still need to avoid that. When times are of a pressure nature, and trial, and turmoil, and hardship, and temptation, we still need to make the right choices. Ruth is having a bad day. She's lost her husband. But she makes the right choice. So I want us to understand this morning with regard to choosing what is right, that we do that even in difficult times. Young people, you're going to be in difficult situations. You're going to be
And those of you who are leaving home later this year, you're going to be all alone. Mom and Dad's not going to be around. You're going to be in some difficult situations, some trials and some tests. You still need to make the right choices. Like Ruth, that's what shows what good character is. And even as adults, we find ourselves in those same things. It's easy to live a good Christian life when other Christians are around us, but what do we do privately when we're by ourselves in our room, or when we're by ourselves at work or at school and we're not around other Christians? We still need to make the right choices. So notice, first of all, this morning that the choice of Ruth was a difficult choice. Let's keep reading in chapter 1 and verse 5. We find that her husband dies. Then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that Jehovah had visited his people in giving them bread. And she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. If you turn over to chapter 2, you find that this daughter-in-law, Ruth, is described there as a young woman. Some of the older versions describe her as a maiden. Some of the newer versions say a young woman, a damsel. I want you to notice this morning that the choice of Ruth was a youthful choice. She's described as a young woman. We're not given her exact age, but she's described as a young woman. She made a choice in her youth that was right. She didn't delay. She didn't put it off. She didn't say, well, I'm going to wait till I'm middle-aged. I'm going to wait till I'm older. She made the choice as a youth, and that's one of the wisest things to do. To choose those things that are right as early as you can in life and get those settled, and get those as foundational and fundamental to your life as early as you can. Because the longer we wait, the more the opportunity that we won't make those choices at all. Or if we do, we will fall back into the world. Learning to choose the right thing must begin as early as we can in life. Young people today must choose to put God first as early as they can. Roger and I experienced this earlier in the week. There are situations where if you bring the Bible to someone much later in life, they will often not accept the Bible truth because they've gotten older. They've already experienced a lot of things. They've already solidified things in their life. They've already committed to some things, and it's very difficult for them to accept Bible truth. You know what would have helped that? Had they made the right choices much earlier in life. But they didn't. Now they're middle-aged, and when the Bible is presented to them, they have a look on their face like, I don't think I can do that. Now there are older people who obey the gospel. There are older people who do what the Bible says. But a lot of times they don't. Because they've already made their life. They've made their bed. This is the way they want to live. And Bible truth is not sinking in. So the earlier you can make those choices, the better. Because you will be making those right choices at a time in your life where you can live the rest of your life in a right relationship with God. You don't have to worry about, am I going to commit to that down the road? Because often people do not. They've already solidified their life. And in some cases, with regard to marriage and other things, you can't undo it. You can't backtrack. You can't have a do-over. And so the earlier we choose what is right, the better.
obeying parents and becoming a Christian and being active as a Christian and reading our Bible regularly and praying regularly, the earlier we build those habits, the better. Turn with me to Psalm 71. I'm impressed with the psalmist who recognized the value of an early life of following God. And it allowed him to take that with him all throughout his life, even into old age. Psalm 71 and verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord Jehovah. Thou art my trust from my youth. Who did that for him? In part, the parents. And so the parents here this morning who are raising their children in the right way, and we have several of them here this morning, you're to be credited for this verse. You are helping your child to put their trust in God from their youth. But of course, the young person, they're to be credited as well for accepting that. And then come on down to verse 17. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Yea, even when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have declared Thy strength unto the next generation, Thy might to everyone that is to come. We have some older brethren here this morning that made that choice in their youth to obey God, and they've done it their whole life, and that's one reason why they're sitting here this morning. The gray-headed that are sitting here this morning put God as their trust in their youth, and they carried it with them all through life. The sooner we make that choice, the better. We know about Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We know about Jesus at age 12 in Luke chapter 2, who was in the temple asking and answering questions and submissive to his parents, Luke 2, 49 through 52. We know about 1 Timothy 4, 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example in these various areas of our life. Ruth made a youthful choice. And that's the best time to make that choice. There are Christians sitting here this morning that will tell you, I'm so glad my parents helped me to make those choices in my youth. I'm so glad that I didn't wait till midlife or even later to have to learn those things. That's when we want to make and learn to make right choices, if we can. Now, like I said before, not everybody's given that privilege. From time to time, we will run across people that were not given that privilege. Their parents did not raise them right. And so now they're trying to make right choices during their 30s or their 40s or their 50s. And they're struggling because they've built a life already. They're struggling. The sooner you can make those choices, the better. Back to Ruth chapter 1. We read in the text that Naomi now is going to bring her two daughters-in-law. They're going to start heading back to Judah. Verse 7, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. Jehovah deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Jehovah grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, no, but we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you therefore tarry till they were grown? Would you therefore stay from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, for the hand of Jehovah is gone forth against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. We find that the choice of Ruth was a contrary choice. She made a choice contrary to her sister-in-law. Her sister-in-law went back, but she did not. The right choices in life, brethren, are often those choices that are contrary to what those around us are making. She chose something different than what her mother-in-law is saying and what her sister-in-law actually did. She was not going to follow the crowd. Like Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, he chose to suffer ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We must choose that which is different from the world around us. A lot of times today, the pressure is on us not to be contrary. Don't be contrary. Don't be the odd man out. Don't be the only one at school that does this or that does that. Fit in. Go along. That's the pressure today. Be in the in crowd. Ruth said, no, my sister-in-law has gone back, but I'm going to keep going with you. Naomi pled with her. Naomi tried to reason with her. I'm not going to be able to provide you any more husbands. I'm too old for that. And Ruth said, I'm going to go. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to make choices that are contrary to what the world says. We need to dress differently, talk differently, act differently, think differently. And that includes even the religious world. We need to, and we're going to start this evening, some lessons on Bible authority. Even in the religious world, we need to be contrary to what is said and done in the religious world. We need to follow Bible authority. And if we make choices that are contrary, then so be it. Those are the right choices. Now, we don't get up each day looking to be contrary. But when we make right choices, that's going to put us at odds with the world around us. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're not going to make those choices that people around us are making. We're going to be different. We're going to follow the Word of God. And Ruth is teaching us the characteristics and the qualities of right choice making. Look at Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee and to return from following after thee. And then the well-known statement, for whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. Jehovah, do so to me, and more also if aught but death part thee and me. I want you to underscore in your Bible in verses 16 and 17 how many times Ruth says, I this and I that, and me. Ruth's choice, number 4, was a personal choice. This was something that she was going to do. She made it of her own accord, even against the persuasion of her family and the example of her sister-in-law, this is what I am going to do. When you make choices, do them for you. Our service to Christ today, friends, is not a proxy religion. We don't need to be here today just because our parents want us to be here. We need to be here because we want to be here. And as our young people are growing up, and we have some of them here this morning, that by their own choice are here. They have their own car. They could drive somewhere else. They could be somewhere else. But they have chosen to be here. And what a great thing that is. You make your choices yours. We don't have a proxy religion where mom and dad do it for us. When we're young, they teach and train us. But we have to get to the point where we say, I am choosing this for myself. This is what I will do. This is what I want. That's what makes our faith strong and committed and deep and dedicated. Personal choices but must be made today, but not because our friends want us to do that. Not because our family wants us to do that. Not because society wants us to do that. Not even because the preacher wants us to do that. I need to do it because I need to do that. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. It's personal. One of the problems today that we're seeing is that religion is not personal. We're not owning it. We're not making it our own. And so when young people get a little bit old and they get out on their own, they quit or become unfaithful or never become a Christian, because prior to that, somebody was always making them do that. We've got to learn to make it our own, to own it. And I think of Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, there arose a generation who knew not God. What was the problem? The young people were growing up, they didn't make it their own. Mom and dad was always going down to the tabernacle. Mom and dad were always reading from the law of Moses. Mom and dad were always offering up the sacrifices. And now, I don't know God. We've got to learn to own it, to make it our own. That's one of the most important things that we can instill. And Ruth teaches us that. Nobody's poking her and pushing her and prodding her. This is something she knows that is right to do. In the New Testament, one of the greatest questions that is asked that teaches personal responsibility and accountability is the question, what shall I do? It's asked by the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:16, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'm not thinking about the person sitting down the pew. What do I need to do? Pilate, Matthew 27:22, what shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? The unfaithful steward in Luke 16:3, what shall I do? The Philippian jailer, Acts 16:30, what shall I do? Saul of Tarsus, Acts 22:10, what shall I do? Acts 2:37, what must we do? We've got to make it our own. Whether it's becoming a Christian and being baptized into Christ, whether it's living faithfully thereafter, it's great that mom and dad are training us right, but one day you're going to grow up and be on your own, and you have to stand on your own two spiritual feet. And there are many brethren here this morning because they made it their own early in life. And their parents are now passed away, but they're still living faithfully because they've made it their own. Make it personal when you make those right choices. Notice in Ruth chapter 1, and verses 16 and 17, that when Ruth makes the choice to go, it's not just simply to go back to Judah. That's found in verse 16. But also notice, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. I want the whole thing. I'm not just looking to go back to a physical place. I want everything there is in your life, including service to your God. When we make choices, brethren, make sure that it is comprehensive in nature, that every aspect of our life is going to be governed by God and His Word. We're not going to compartmentalize our service to God. God, that's just a church thing. When I go to church, that's just for that. But when I go to school, I can act any way I want. Or when I go to work, or when I'm out in the community. We're not going to compartmentalize our religion. It's going to encompass all of our life. I'm not just going to take some aspects of God's Word. I'm going to take all of it. It's going to be an entirely new life for me. Not just a new country. Not just a new home, but a new religion and a service to God. Can we have those kinds of choices today? We must have those kinds of choices. We must love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, Matthew 22:37. We must forsake all to serve the Lord and become His disciple, Luke 14:26-33. When we're baptized into Christ, we become a new creation or a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they're become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Sometimes in the Lord's church, you'll find a situation where we'll give Christ most of our life, but there's one little piece of the pie, there's one little slice that we're going to leave for me. It could be some personal habit. It could be some little something that we want. We're just not going to give that up. But we need, when we make a choice, it needs to be comprehensive. And we're going to put off that old man and put on the new man, Ephesians 4:23-24. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says his closing prayer is in that book that God would sanctify them wholly. Wholly. Every aspect, body, soul, and spirit, that God may sanctify you wholly. When we make right decisions, let's make them to include every aspect of our life. And then we find in verse 17, when you look at what Ruth is choosing to do, she is saying here, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. This is a long-term, lifelong choice. I'm not going to go back with you for a couple of days or a few weeks or a few months. I'm going to go back with you and I'm going to live there until I die. And your God is going to be my God all the way until the day I die. Let's make the right choices and make them lifelong. Being a Christian is not an experiment. It's not an experiment. It's not a trial period. I like things that have trial periods. You know, when you go to buy something or somebody's offering you something. I'm happy with the 30-day trial period on some things. But that's not how we need to approach Christianity. She made this long-term, lifelong choice, and she wasn't going to look back. No short-term, quick fix approach to life. When you make choices, when I make choices, let's make sure that it's not the right choice just to get out of a bind.
Not the right choice just to get a quick fix. It needs to be the right choice because this is the way I'm going to live my entire life.
Jesus said with regard to His followers in Luke 9, 61 and 62, that I want you to follow Me, and I want you to follow Me now. When one said, I'll follow you, but first, no, follow Me now. And number two, when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. That expression, putting your hand to the plow and not looking back, Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. When you're plowing, they might have a donkey or an oxen in front of them pulling that plow. If you look back, you're not going to plow a straight road. So once you start down that field, you keep looking forward. That's how you plow a straight road. So put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Ruth was saying, I'm not going to look back. This is not some temporary quick fix and then I'm back to Moab as soon as I can get there. Let's make the right choices, but for the long term. And then we'll be like Paul, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, and we can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith all the way through the end. Look with me at Ruth chapter 1 and verse 18. And when she, Naomi, saw that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking to her. Underscore in your Bible that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Ruth's choice was a determined choice. No one was going to tell her otherwise. No one was going to talk her out of it. No one was going to offer her a better deal. This is the way it's going to be. The right choices from God's Word should be determinate choices. They must be made today. They must be made contrary to what the world says. And they must be made in such a determined way that no one is going to deter us. And believe me, there's going to be attempts to deter you. Oh yeah. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7 with regard to the Galatian brethren who were being taken back to the old law, you were running well, who hindered you? Oh yeah, there will be deterrences along the way. But you have a determined attitude toward the choices you have made. Don't be talked out of that. It doesn't matter what comes up later. It doesn't matter what offer comes up later. You've chosen Christ, and you're going to live that way each and every day. No one is going to hinder you while running that Christian race. When you make the right choice, be determined always to follow that. Errors will come along later. You ignore them. Temptations will come along later. You ignore that. Other offers, other religious kinds of things will be brought up. You ignore all of that. And you continue to do what is right. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. It reminds me of the devil in Luke chapter 4. After tempting Jesus, Luke says that the devil left him. Well, I got to go somewhere else. I can't get this guy. He's determined to live right. That's why James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He's going to go somewhere else to somebody that he can get. He can't get you. He's going to go somewhere else. And that's the way we need to be. Let's be determined. Let's put our spiritual foot down on things that involve the right choices with God and say, no, no. And this is the subject of a completely different lesson, but we're living in a climate where we're really going to have to learn to say no to a lot of foolishness going on. Just say no. Nope. Be determined. And then last of all, if you'll notice in verses 19 through 20 and 22, so they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara," or Mara, "bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and Jehovah hath brought me home empty again," the loss of her husband and sons-in-law. "Why call ye me Naomi, seeing Jehovah hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came into Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And we know the rest of the story, how that she ends up marrying Boaz. And at the end of the story that we're well acquainted with in chapter 4 and verse 17, Ruth and Boaz have a son named Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. When you make the right choices, you'll always be rewarded by God in this life and in that which is to come. She returned with Naomi. She married Boaz. She had a son, Obed. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, she's mentioned in the genealogy of Christ. No good choice will go unnoticed and unrewarded by God. Let me say that again. No good choice will go unnoticed and unrewarded by God. Making the right choices to serve God will be rewarded in this life and in that which is to come. Godliness, Paul says, 1 Timothy 4:8, godliness has the promise of the life that now is. You'll be blessed and rewarded for being a Christian right now and in the life to come. Of course, we know about the reward of heaven. Make the right choices now. I find it interesting that Boaz, who was Boaz's mother? Not his wife, Ruth. Boaz's mother. Boaz's mother was a foreigner. Her name was Rahab the harlot. Did Rahab make wise choices? Yeah, we had a lesson a few weeks ago, the Rahab's plan of salvation. Boaz's mother was a foreigner who made wise choices to obey the Lord and come into Israel. And he marries a woman, Ruth, a foreigner who makes wise choices. When you make the right choices, you're going to be rewarded. And for her to be in the genealogy of Christ is quite a reward. Well, as we close this morning, are we like Ruth? What choices are we making? Make the right choices even in difficult times. Make them as soon as you can, young people. Solidify them and make them right as soon as you can, because you have the rest of your life to carry out those great choices. You might have to stand contrary to the world around you. Make them personal. Make them your own. Make them comprehensive, where every aspect of your life is going to be controlled and governed by God's Word. Make it long term, all the way to death. Be determined about it. Don't let anybody deter you. And when you do that, you will be rewarded. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song of encouragement. Life every day is about choices. And Ruth helps us to understand those qualities and those characteristics of right choices. You may need to begin that this morning by coming forward and being baptized into Christ. Or as a child of God, if you've erred in some way and you need to come back, we can help you with that. Or if you're living faithfully this morning and you're going to just live faithfully this week, keep making that choice. It's a great choice. But we learn from Ruth what we need to do. Let's go out and do that this morning. And if we can help you in making that choice to become a child of God this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?